Please turn with me to the first letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 5. First letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 5. I'll read from verse 16 to 22. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God and Messiah Yeshua for you. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Last week, we got as far as verse 19. Rejoicing always, praying without ceasing, in everything give thanks, and not quench the spirit. Now we come to further precepts. These are practical precepts. These are the things that every child of God should be practicing. And it's not as though we are made perfect in a day, but we have to keep working at it and seek to improve and fine-tune our performance. Now, in verse 19, Scripture says, do not quench the Spirit, and it's not by coincidence that verse 20 follows close behind. Do not despise prophecies, because it is one of the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Prophecy is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. What does prophecy mean in the language of God's Word? It means inspired utterances based on the Word of God. It includes forthtelling, but it's mainly foretelling. And it is under the guidance and the influence of the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians, first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 14, verses 1 to 3, we read there about the primary importance of prophecy. And by prophecy here is meant proclamation of the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 14, verses 1 to 3. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. That's what is meant by prophecy, inspired utterance based on God's Word. And if we look at verse 22 of 1 Corinthians 14, we read something more about the difference between tongues and prophesying. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 22, therefore, tongues are for a sign, not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. But prophesying is not for unbelievers, but for those who believe. That's the importance of proclaiming, foretelling, or preaching. When Shaul wrote to Titus in his letter in chapter 1, he mentions this fact as well. I'll read verse 1 to 3 of Titus chapter 1. Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Yeshua, Mashiach, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth which accords with godliness, in hope of eternal life which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began, but has in due time manifested his word through preaching, which was committed to me according to the commandment of God our Savior, So God manifests his word through preaching or prophesying. It's foretelling as well as forthtelling. There were prophets in the gatherings of the saints in the book of Acts. We read about a prophet called Agabus. We read about him a couple of times in the book of Acts, where he foretold, first of all, in Acts chapter 11, he foretold there's going to be a famine. And later on in the book of Acts, he foretold that Paul would be bound in Jerusalem and handed over to the Gentiles. So there is foretelling as well as forthtelling. How do we know when a person is truly foretelling? Moses comes to our rescue. If we go back to Deuteronomy chapter 18. Deuteronomy chapter 18. And this is how we can lay to rest many of these extravagant claims of people who say things that are not true, that never come to pass. There was a certain person, I do believe he was a believer, but he was woefully mistaken. He wrote a book, 88 Reasons Why the Lord is Coming Back in 1988. I've still got that book. It didn't happen. Here's the rule by which we follow. Incidentally, a pastor was wound up when he read that book. He was enthused, and I'm afraid I was a wet blanket, because I said to him, not so fast, these date setters are invariably wrong. Deuteronomy 18, verse 20. But the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of other gods, that prophet shall die. And if you say in your heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord has not spoken? When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not happen or come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You shall not be afraid of him. So prophecy is something that we can check up on. Coming back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, there is a warning. Do not despise prophecies in verse 20. That is, do not make light of prophecies. Do not treat them with contempt. If you haven't got a chance of proving them right or wrong, say, I will take what you say on advisement, and the event will prove whether your words are truly prophecy or whether you have been mistaken. But beware of treating with contempt. There was a certain priest that opposed God's prophet Amos. We read about him in Amos chapter 7. Amos the prophet chapter 7. Verse 12 and 13. The priest was an idolatrous priest, and he was angry with Amos for denouncing the idolatry of Israel. Amos 7, verse 12 and 13. You can hear the scorn in his voice. Then Amaziah said to Amos, go, you seer. Flee to the land of Judah. There eat bread, and there prophesy. But never again prophesy at Bethel, for it is the king's sanctuary, and it is the royal residence. He said, if you want to make money, you're not going to make it here. Go back to your own country and see if you can get some gainful employment by prophesying there. They may listen to you, we will not. That was the language of that priest, and for it God condemned him. Verse 17, therefore thus says the Lord, your wife shall be a harlot in the city, your sons and daughters shall fall by the sword, your land shall be divided by survey line, you shall die in a defiled land, and Israel shall surely be led away captive from his own land. What God was saying is not that I will make your wife an immoral woman, but what God was saying is the inevitable consequences of your attitude and your behavior and your belief will be this and this and this. There are consequences to what we believe and to our behavior. And that was inevitably the consequence there. So we're not to despise prophecies. And coming back to the first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 14, here's another way in which we can check on prophecy. Verse 29, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 29. Let two or three prophets speak, and let the others judge. So nobody can say, thus says the Lord, you dare not challenge me. On the contrary, the Bible says, two or three prophets may speak, but the others should evaluate. The word judge here means evaluate. Check it out. See if it squares with the word of God. Let the others judge. So the preacher, in a sense, is on trial when he stands in the pulpit. And God's children are entitled to do what the people in Berea did. They searched, they received the word with all readiness of mind. We read in Acts 17, but also they searched the scriptures daily to see whether those things were so. They said, thank you, Paul, for what you have told us. We're going to investigate and see whether the word of God squares with what you are saying. So instead of despising, whenever there's a negative precept here, the positive is implied by contrast. Instead of despising prophecy, value it. In Galatians, when Shaul wrote to the Galatians in chapter 4, verses 13 and 14, he says to them, there was a time when you valued my message. You valued the messenger because of the message. Galatians 4, verse 13 and 14. Their attitude was right at that time. You know that because of physical infirmity, I preached the gospel to you at the first. And my trial, which was in my flesh, you did not despise or reject, but you received me as an angel of God, even as Messiah Yeshua. It's what we read about in verse 13 of 1 Thessalonians 5. Esteem them very highly in love for their works' sake. Paul had some kind of infirmity in the flesh, some physical infirmity. But that didn't put them off their stroke. When he came weak and sick as he was and preached the gospel to the Galatians, they're able to look beyond the messenger to the message. It's like looking at someone through the window. As one poet put it, you don't stop and gaze on the glass of the window. You look through the glass to the one on the other side. And that's how a preacher should be. A window through which Messiah can be viewed by the listener. Value prophecies highly, but of course with that reservation, provided it's in line with the Word of God. Don't overreact against abuse of prophecy. Don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. Verse 21. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Just because there are some false prophets doesn't mean that all are false. And that's our danger. We go from one extreme to the other. We either swallow it all or we throw it all out. No, we are to sift and to check up and prove all things, test all things, hold fast what is good. We do not overreact. Because some people spoil good food, does that mean we should never eat good food? On the contrary, we make sure that we take that which is good for us. We have to evaluate wisely. In the second letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Yeshua Mashiach and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Messiah had come. They were false prophets, misrepresenting the apostle and saying, this is what Shaul said when he had said nothing of this sort. Evaluate, evaluate, says Shaul to these Thessalonians. Remember, check up on what we told you, check up on the Word of God which we taught you, and use that to evaluate. When John wrote his first letter, he said in the fourth chapter, beloved, believe not every spirit, but test the spirit, test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. You see, the principle here is, test the spirits. Don't throw out everything you hear, but evaluate them one by one. So evaluate wisely, and what is true, share with other people. Let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, says the scripture, as the manner of some is, but Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Let me read it. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Malachi the prophet, in his book, quotes God as saying, those that feared the Lord spoke often one to another. The Lord hearkened and heard, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that spoke of him and that thought on his name. And God goes on to say, and they shall be mine in the day when I make up my jewels. Every true believer that loves the Lord, that loves his word, is a jewel in the process of completion, of making, of the diamond is being polished. Repeat the true. Peter was writing to the believers before he was put to death by the Roman power. He says, I will endeavor after my decease that you should always have these things in remembrance, even though you know them, even though you're established in the present truth, still talk of what you know. It's never superfluous. You can never speak too much about the truths of God, the Word of God, and honor those that are true messengers indeed. Honor them by praying for them and listening to what they tell us from the Word of God. Hebrews 13, verse 17 and 18. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Pray for us, for we are confident that we have a good conscience in all things, desiring to live honorably. So honor the true messengers, and that is the precept that we have in verse 20. Do not despise prophecies. Verse 21 follows closely on verse 20. Test all things. Now, some texts have the word but. In other words, do not despise prophecies, but test all things. However, test all things. Hold fast what is good. Verify it. The Lord Yeshua says in John chapter 10, and verse 4 and 5. John 10, verses 4 and 5. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. You can tell the moment the preacher opens his mouth whether the message is in line with God's word or not. The Lord has given his children an instinct for the truth, and they can tell when something rings true and when something does not. You know how that expression came about, the ring of truth? It was the way they checked true coin from counterfeit coin. The true coin, when it was thrown onto the ground, gave a nice solid ring. But the counterfeit coin gave a muffled, a cracked sound. So it is with God's people. They can tell when it's true. Sometimes the clever fraud will have you all confused in your mind, but still your God-given instinct as a child of God tells you there's something fishy here. There's something wrong. And it is, of course, due to the voice of the Holy Spirit who indwells all his beloved children. When Shaul wrote to the Philippians in chapter 1, he says in verse 9 and 10, Philippians 1 verse 9 and 10, and this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment. See the element of discernment there, of checking up, testing, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Messiah. Use your discernment, your God-given discernment. Trust the Holy Spirit to lead you. And when Shaul wrote to the believers, the Jewish believers in Hebrews chapter 5, he says, verse 13 and 14 of Hebrews chapter 5, for everyone who partakes only of milk, that is, of the very basic elements of the truth, for everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food, that is, the deeper truths, the majestic doctrines of Scripture, but solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. I remember my pastor in England saying, use your minds, use your hearts, saturate yourself in the Holy Scripture. And he quoted this scripture, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised, as we do so, as we saturate ourselves in the Word of God, the Lord is able to speak to us by his Spirit and use that Word of God that we have hidden in our heart. Test, verify, test all things. Incidentally, to test is a word that's used of testing metals. They have, the metallurgist has his way of checking up on metals, testing them to tell true from false. There is a mineral that's called fool's gold. It looks like gold, but it isn't. It's a kind of pyrites, a sulfur mineral. But it looks at outward appearance like real gold. And the prospector that is mining for gold sees sometimes this thing that's called fool's gold. But the prospector, through experience, knows that that's not gold. An inexperienced person saying, you've hit it rich. There you are. You've made your fortune. The prospector doesn't turn a hair. He says, no, that's only fool's gold. So it is with us. We are less and less likely to be fooled by frauds, by false messengers, when we have the Word of God in us. Isaiah says, to the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. It is the law, it's the testimony, it's the Word of God by which we test things. We read about the shekel of the sanctuary. The shekel was a certain weight, a coin of a certain weight. And it wasn't left to man to determine the weight of that coin. God determined the weight according to the shekel of the sanctuary, says God again and again in the law. The one shekel is 20 gerahs. 20 gerahs, that's units of weight. It had to be that. And as the book of Proverbs says, all the weights of the bag are God's work. True weights, faithful measure, they are God-given. Test all things, prophecies, claims to spirituality. He that boasts himself of a false gift, says the scripture, is like, well, let's look at it, Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 14. Proverbs 25 and verse 14. Whoever falsely boasts of giving is like clouds and wind without rain. Or alternately, whoever falsely boasts of a gift is like clouds and wind without rain. We must make sure that their claims are validated. So we prove all things. Prophecies, spiritual claims. Some year or two ago, a man came here from Europe. He said he had come all the way from Europe to proclaim the word of God to this Kehila. We told him, God hasn't told us. We cannot allow this. We don't know you. We don't know your stand on Scripture. We cannot allow you this. We cannot allow you to presume to speak to the people unless we know who you are, what you believe, and unless we have testimonies, references from other people. He was so angry with us, he pronounced a curse on us and departed. We have to make sure that we test all things. especially those that claim to be supremely spiritual. Now, on the positive, hold fast what is good. That is, keep it, guard it. Solomon says, Proverbs 23, verse 23. Easy to remember. Proverbs 23, verse 23. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also, sound wisdom and discretion. Proverbs 23, verse 23. Buy the truth and do not sell it. Also, wisdom and instruction and understanding. Buy the truth, don't sell it. As a seeking Jewish young man, I was under such conviction that for me, the most important thing in the whole world was to know the truth. To know the truth about Messiah. For me, everything else was secondary. Conviction from the Holy Spirit had gripped my heart, and I wanted desperately to know the truth. And God was not slow in giving me the truth, in bestowing upon me that which I desired, that which I prayed for earnestly every morning after I put on my phylacteries and read my prayers from my Hebrew prayer book. I always closed with a prayer that God would show me his truth, and he did. Hold fast, guard it. Hold that which is good, and hold fast what is, there is a definite article, what is the good. Keep it, guard it. Don't be, says the letter to the Ephesians, like those that are tossed about like the waves of the sea with every wind of doctrine. Hold fast what is good, your anchor will hold in the storms of life. The good, it was what Mary chose above her sister Martha. Mary has chosen that good thing which shall not be taken away from her. What was that good thing? She sat at the feet of Messiah and heard his word. So it is here too. Alas, time has gone, but we see here in verses 20 and 21 the vital principles that should obtain in every child of God. These are one-sentence precepts, and yet they are of vital importance for you and for me. When we go back, we see that it begins really from verse 12 to verse 22. All these various precepts, admonitions, please, we exhort you, we urge you, we beseech you. It is not just Shaul that is pleading with us. The Bible says that it was that the messengers of God were really just the spokesmen for God. So behind the voice of the messenger, we hear the voice of the Master saying to you and to me, the Lord Yeshua, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, do not quench the spirit, do not despise prophecies. And when we recognize the voice of the Master in his servant, we are much more willing to comply. Well, may God bless his word. We'll close with a word of prayer and then throw open the floor to questions or comments. Loving Father, we thank you for your holy precepts and for the principles that guide us so that we may make a safe passage to heaven through all the storms of life, through all the perils, the rocks, the shoals, the quicksands. Thank you, Lord, that you have given us a chart and a compass over life's troubled sea in your holy word. May we treasure it dearly, and may we acknowledge its supreme authority in our life. We ask it all in the name of our Lord Yeshua. Amen.